At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hello and welcome to Imps AEW Adventures podcast on the Social Suplex Podcast Network. Help us out by leaving a 5-star review, give a donation directly through Red Circle, and become one of the amazing community by joining the Social Suplex Discord. Link is in the description. Order merch from all our shows over at chopped-tees.com. Thank you to Dickie. Read the Social Suplex newsletter. Shout out to Trish and Tim, as always, and to every person who's contributed so far. Listen to the other top-notch shows here on the Social Suplex Podcast Network. One Nation Radio, Keeping It Strong Style, All Things Elite, Wrestling Art with Chris Things, Trish and Sarah, Tunnel Talk, and Sam Brown's AEW Match Guide. My name is Matt Mayer, aka Imp, and this is your quick look back at the AEW week that was. 30 minutes of a completely different format, because yes, I am now putting out shows on a Monday, where previously they'll go out on a Friday for the weekend. And really, it works quite well with One Nation Radio going to a Thursday night live, and you got the end of the week, just everyone else who was already there. So, suddenly, Mondays were free. Suddenly, you've got a guy who's massively asking the question, can I continue covering WWE? I reached my breaking point, and I did a whole episode explaining why, so just so I don't waste time on this one going over it. The previous episode for Imp's WWE Adventures explains pretty much just everything. All of my thoughts and feelings are out in there. But it has to be, suddenly, a completely different format. And at times, with this being the first episode doing it like this anyway, I am going to have to just talk about WWE a bit. Part of that is you watch an episode of Raw or SmackDown, you get one or two, three, if you're lucky, segments which are genuinely something of worth and note talking about. Then you get what I called the other notes, where it's just stuff happening on the screen. And quite a lot of weeks, there was quite a bit in the other notes. There were some weeks where I thought, God, what do I pick? I need to pick something out of the other notes because there's nothing. So there'll be quite a few times where I didn't want something to choose. But as I'm writing this review, as I'm going through the show, I got like halfway through Dynamite and I had no other notes. There is no filler on these shows. And that became apparent very quickly. Everything is purposely building to something, every single segment, meaning my format doesn't work. I cannot just cherry pick one or two things and just leave it because I want to talk about everything. And sure, that might be because I dropped a new promotion to talk about and everything's super fresh. I have talked about AEW in my past. I've done it in audio form as well for Wrestling Headlines, Laws of Pain, back around COVID, just coming out of COVID area. I would cover AEW. I even covered Dynamite every single week at one point, which was crazy because I was also covering NXT, which was crazy because I was also covering Raw. Lockdown was not good for my sanity. So yeah, I was like, yeah, I'm not doing anything. I'll cover all the shows. I didn't think about my sleep. That wasn't wise. I had American guests on all the time. I had James Boyd on all the time. I think he only watched NXT, but still, it was an interesting time. So I've talked about Dynamite and AEW before, but never a Social Suplex. It's been a while, not in this format. So everything just felt fresh. It's the way I talked about things. I definitely realised I developed rhythms in terms of how I would write and talk about certain matches, especially tag matches. Like there's the tag match for the Death Riders that opened Collision, and I'm writing my notes for it. It's like, oh, I actually have to pay attention to this. WWE tag match, you already know the rhythm before the bell rings. Every single one of their tag matches builds the same rhythm. And you saw it at SummerSlam in like back-to-back matches. I watched this AEW match and I'm like, oh wait, no, I've got to pay attention here. I've got to pay attention and actually just see how they're building this one up, because it's not going to be that flow. Like, wrestling can be different. There's just lots of little things that reminded me I'm watching a way more creative, competent wrestling product, because I'd commend the competency for WWE's writing into the past and for their kind of production stuff that's kicked in. But Dynamite and the Collision, just watching them, they feel like far, far more competent wrestling shows. And that's the thing, that's just writing this review, writing stuff this week just became so apparent, because I'm coming back from talking about WWE with all this stuff. I haven't got any terms to talk about these things. I haven't got any ways to do it. The same with the tag match with the WWE one. I could write pre-notes before even watching it and then I'll be right, because they do all the matches are the same. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through each show in order, Dynamite then Collision, talking about the AEW week that was. Some segments I'll have more to say than others. Overall, I've massively enjoyed my time doing it this week. Hopefully all weeks are this good. But sure, there'll be some weeks where it doesn't feel like every single segment is as necessary, but I just had a great time. Absolutely flew by watching both shows. I'm somebody who has constantly said that me doing my WWE stuff meant that I wasn't able to watch Collision a lot. I try my best to watch Collision, but like Dynamite's first. I'm already then watching Raw and SmackDown on both of those shows, so 3 hours, and they get edited down to me for 2 hours maximum. I just don't have the time to also watch a Collision where I've got 3 2-hour shows already. The fourth one was Collision, unfortunately, because of course I had to do the review. NXT could fuck off. That's the end of that. That's all right, because when these things get posted to YouTube, YouTube. YouTube has said we can swear now, so, you know, tell all your friends. Tell all your fucking friends. We can fucking swear now. It's fucking fine. Anyway, let's jump over to MJF and Champion Hangers. Let's do a little sound clip from MJF and Champion Hangers. Oh, this is going to feel weird. Introducing an AEW sound clip. Oh, that's going to be nice. So a little talky talk to start off my return to AEW coverage. Good start on familiar ground. Let's start on a promo talking segment coming from writing about WWE promos. I cannot tell you how full of character and genuine building notes this was. This was full of stuff. So anyway, let's jump on over to AEW Dynamite and the opening segment of Hangman Page and MJF.
Take your shot! Sign it! Sign it! Listen to me, you son of a bitch! Forbidden Door! I execute that goddamn contract!
The main character in Hangman, the main antagonist in Maxwell. Lovely character note for MJF, going for his tried and trusted ways, only for the champion to slap the mic out of his hand and stay true to all of the traits he's been exuding since All In. So good to see a goody character stand by his words and not just cave into the villain's goading and inciting because pay-per-view needs match, please. Since All In, he has stated the kind of champion he wants to be. He starts to then show up through action. And when he's pushed by a villain, like trying to goad him into a match, he stays true by his word, and that is so rare in wrestling. Just to see that, to see a character genuinely stay strong rather than bending to the plot or the will and necessity to create a build for a match. MJF driven to prove Page is still the same guy he always was, a fake, phony, false idol like you. Unlike you, at least I am real. Promising to crucify Hangers in London. Such a perfect stand to let our new champion step up onto and so clearly reiterate all of those heroic characteristics. MJF a full on reflection of how far Page has come. It becoming so clear as Hangman talks that he's grown so much as a person, whilst it's Maxwell himself who's insecure that he's the one that hasn't grown. The champion successfully goading poor MJF into executing his contract to get that O2 title shot. Right at the end of the show, MJF attacks in the parking lot to get that final word he couldn't straight up get. I just love the idea of MJF entering with this confidence, be like, this is going to be easy. I've set this all up. All I need to do is just execute the plan. Hangman is so easy to be manipulated that he puts on this facade of being this strong heroic guy, but we've wrestled before. I've done this dance with him before. We've been in this company since day one together. I know who this man is, and all of this is not the Hangman which he's saying he is. Goes out into the ring, and all of that, what all this stuff you're putting out there is a lie, is a facade, just immediately reflected back. Just immediately screams that MJF is projecting, and it does so much for both characters, because you see MJF get that just uncertainty in his character, that he entered that ring so confident and he left it shaken, so he had to regain some control by the end of the show. And him doing that attack on Hangman, he reads that as I've regained control, but for his character it's a sign of weakness, and it's such good writing. There's so much into it, and it turns their title match almost into a prove yourself for MJF. Tama gets to display the kind of champion he wants to be. He's given his mission statement, he's shown us that he's going to stay true to his word through these promos and this build with MJF. Then he properly gets to start showing it for real in his first title defense. But MJF, he's putting his character on the line here. He's broken and used his contract when he never said he would. He then fell apart in the ring when he called out the truth of Hangman, and that Hangman just reflected it immediately back onto him, and he just fell apart. And he had to do an attack on him to regain some of that control. It's a character wise, like, he's on the back foot going into London, and I love it. Just, you know, there's a guy who's reflecting when he's got a lot of insecurity, like making a perfect villain. Anyway, let's jump on over to Jon Moxley and Kevin Knight. We'll see quite a bit of these guys this week. A singles match here and a tag match on Collision. A quick outside promo before the match. Jon Otakamba directly challenged Darby Allin to a match at Forbidden Door, and oh boy, did he get one. Here, Mox really gave Knight a strong spotlight. And my first AEW match to cover on Social Suplex. Yay! If you don't count the years of guesting on Sam Brown's AEW match guide and editing the top 10 list every single year with Sam Brown's AEW match guide. Like, it's apart from them. And the crowd are actually invested in wrestling. Yay! Boo! Yay! Boo! Yay! Knight with an amazing leap onto the apron and popping up with a dropkick to ringside Mox. That man has got a leap and a half. The dive soon after was the first time I realised we even had a stage ramp to the ring. I was just watching the wrestlers come out, do all their stuff. It wasn't until they brought onto the stage ramp, like, oh, stage ramp. I do not have high observational skills, which, you know, would think would be a bit of a problem for doing this. And of course it is. I don't notice things. My fight ad breaks bonus wrestling saw Shafia block speedball so Yuta could stomp on a Kevin. Fuck you, Yuta. Gave me a smile. Like, yes, he deserves it. But it's just nice to hear without piped in audio over the top to mute it. I was laughing at night as he showed he could play dirty by counting a forearm by taking a bite of Mox meat. Yuta getting fucked nearly cost Knight the match, but he avoided the paradigm shift. Only for his spin around frog splash to be met by knees and a tightly locked in alligator roll. And in that, I saw hair and a white t-shirt and just immediately booed thinking Mike Bailey was Yuta. It's like, nope, nope. Post-match called Darby with a skateboard and a body bag. Love the pro wrestling logic of climbing Mount Everest, meaning you now return with a gimmick of zero fear. Yuta in a body bag, no coffin drop, thanks to Claudio. Now Darby's in the bag. I'm back 1 week and I'm watching a Swiss man spin in a circle with a body bag on his shoulders that has a small man inside. He couldn't wait 1 week to not be weird, EW. Before Will Ospreay made his surprise return and bruvved up to call out the Death Riders. We'll bring our mates, go down to Landon and have a lights out steel cage match. Sure, yeah, that went swellingly well at his NJPW farewell. I mean, Henare's still alive, but we did lose a Coughlin. Later in the show, other lads started to get confirmed. Hiroshi Tanahashi? This was the first name in a... Wait, Hiroshi Tanahashi? And I loved how Mox's reaction was the same later, like, Hiroshi Tanahashi? Really? The old man with no leg, no knees. Hiroshi Tanahashi. Mox then got his rebuttal via literal 8 out, walking into the extras room for a chat with the Bucks. Good old laugh there. Tony Schiavone then just announced the rest. We're getting amazing little reveal. I say amazing. We're getting funny little reveals for the others. And then Tony just lifts them. Gabe Kidd joining the Riders and Bucks and the Golden Lovers with the good team. And speaking of everybody's just a little bit weird, let's jump over to the women's division. Everyone's just a bit weird and it's making the division so good. It's weird in the best way. The influence of Tony Storm. Everybody's just getting a bit weird. Mercedes Monet and Sky Blue and Tekla versus Alex Windsor and Queen Aminata and Willow. I've been really enjoying AEW's women's division since All In, finding ways to try and feature all the talent every week across Dynamite and Collision. So lots of four ways and a nice break this week with a six woman tag. No fear, it's a six woman tag building to a future four way. So it's not all lost. And all you had to do was watch Collision to see the next four way. I'm really enjoying them though. I'm not getting tired. If these become like relatively standard to start featuring everybody, you know, eventually Tony Khan's gonna have to think up of something new other than offering money. And 100,000 as well. You can't be giving that amount out every week. Like, I don't know, like half it? Don't make it so absurdly big. A bit of crack before the match, a big pop for Tony Storm out in the crowd, which drew a sad little lip wobble from Mercedes in the ring, only for her to also get upstaged by Athena, who also popped up in the crowd. And the arena as well was a perfect little smaller arena, which very much was like three tiers on top of the action, just like playing to a theatre rather than a baseball arena. I'm booking arenas like this, which are wholly unique, is the kind of thing that I remember talking about wanting back in 2019. Like really unique locations, like the cruise ship for the Jericho cruise, stuff like that, where it's entirely unique. Daly's Place fit into that really well too. Then they started doing arenas and they started to build up a style of doing their shows. But what we're getting now is kind of what I wanted back then. And I love the atmosphere in them as well. But the talent in the ring is so high. You can see why they've been booking so many multi-women matches since All In. I think that's one reason why I don't mind so many four-ways, especially when you've got so many different pairings of the women. But you look at the division, it's like, yeah, I get it. You've got so much talent and you want to feature them all. So why not just do loads of multi-women stuff? Especially when you've been hitting on all cylinders with the title contender as well. So everything's flowing fine. Windsor got the win after making Sky Blue tap. Got a little offense on Mercedes earlier, but she paid for it after the match. Found it hilarious how every other person span off into their separate feisty cuffs, leaving Mercedes and Alex alone in the ring, which spiraled into a Storm and Windsor versus Athena and Mercedes match in AEW Scotland's debut show in Glasgow next week. Of course, Tony announced it by promising to bareback them if they're not wearing anything under their kilts. Of course he did. Speaking of having nothing under the kilt, Stokely Hathaway versus Adam Copeland. A story about a big, brave man, a bold man with no hose, who had to be lifted to the ring by security with his little legs waggling in the air in his attempts to escape. I loved it. I loved how this played out. Just a ton of silly fun. Copeland took a mic into the crowd to find said hose, who, wow, what a sentence. You know, the guy Edge that you used to watch for ages is like treated as a respected legend now. Yeah, he went into the crowd and tried to find hose to have them then say that they wouldn't let Stokely be with them. What a weird sentence to have written. Stokes' game plan, though, appeared to be to just let FDR cause distraction so he could throw powder into the Canadian's eyes. That beating called out Christian for the reunion. I thought we'd be waiting a short while longer, but I guess we've got to get to that back-to-back bump and circle, staring at each other longingly ahead of FDR's tag tournament final. Christian handed back the Iron Giant's toothbrush. And they fought off Nick Wayne and the others. They tried to jump them. I was like, I know their giant wooden thing with the nails in it has got a name, but I've been calling it the Iron Giant's toothbrush. I refused to learn its name. I think it was like Abyss's was Janice, I think, in TNA. I remember that. This one, I haven't a clue. It's not stuck, whatever they call it. I don't want to be told it. Don't need to mess with me. It's fine. I don't need to know. But this is built to a Nick Wayne and Kip Sabian versus Christian and Edge return match in London. Good for Kip. In a big England match as well. Young Bucks, Kyle Fletcher and Josh Alexander versus Brody King, Tomohiro Ishii, Hologram and Hiromu Takahashi, who is Kyle Fletcher's New Japan Pro Wrestling opponent for London. The Young Bucks continuing their just amazing descent, demanding for pyro and the full entrance. Well, they got their pyro, but a great reaction at Over the Tannoy came the announcement. We apologise, but we have no ring music for the Young Bucks tonight. Their first ring names on the two screens too, like Mr. Instant Replay and Slick Nick, to the tune of the crowd's jobbers chant. Oh yes. Sometimes it works really, really well when you can just guarantee there's going to be something that the crowd can do to react to it. Like in NXT where the Tommaso Ciampa turn, where the boos for Ciampa was just so guaranteed he didn't need music because that was his music. That was the atmosphere that he was creating. Here for the Young Bucks, they don't need music because they will get their jobbers chant. And it worked so well. And of course, right now, any tag match featuring the Bucks has just been so much fun. I'm just loving their antics with their grand fall from grace every single week. Also, the fans getting in on it too. There was somebody last week who over their Young Bucks merch taped the tape over the name and put talent name here over their own t-shirt, which I really liked. Poor Justin Roberts super kicked by the frustrated Bucks. Brody King also caught in that overspinning and got run into the barricade by the announcers, making our tattooed man the one eating a ton of baddie offense. Rest, big man. You'll have your moment next week. Things got worse for the Young Bucks as Hiromu got the free forbidden door win. Time bomb to Alexander through that. Kyle Fletcher versus Hiromu. There are two guys who are pretty reckless with the way that they start. There are two guys who do not mind taking the craziest of bumps, coming up with the not safest of spots, so I'm very much looking forward to it. A Swerve Strickland and Kazuchika Okada. I laughed at Rene's mic not working and the commentary ad-libbing that it was the Young Bucks' fault. It's like, yes. And it'll be coming out of their paycheck. Swerve's continuing to get these great interview segments out on the ramp, shot with the ring and the crowd behind him. A million times better than shooting this backstage. Like, he's a star. Get him out there. Kazu interrupted with his 1OK rock to tell Swerve he doesn't actually want this. Oh, but he does. And didn't let Okada deliver his bitch line and just let the guy walk away. Instead, striking the man with security, immediately pulling them apart. It's a nice little segment, heating things up, bubbling the waters a little bit. I don't need this one to feel like a huge big deal match. It's already just pairing them together for that dream match feel for Forbidden Door is kind of enough. You just simmer it, you just bubble it a bit. I don't need there to be this massive heated feeling to this one. Just bubble it a bit. They have their differences as humans and they have got their wrestling competitive edge. Just bouncing that off a little bit is absolutely enough for a Forbidden Door dream match kind of style stuff. And then the main event was the Trios Championships, the Ops versus La Faction Ingo Bernabéu, big boys versus Mexican men, starting off with Hobbs and Mortos dancing, eventually elevating into Samoa Joe and Roosh. It's certainly a dance I can get in rhythm with. The champions victorious relatively easy, with Joe locking in the Kikina clutch and Dralistico for the win. The Ops continue to be so over as that force of badasses, going off air almost in old school AEW fashion with Excalibur running down the huge amount of upcoming matches. You know it's pay-per-view week, and you know they've got the show over in the UK where they're trying to promote Dynamite, trying to promote Collision and Forbidden Door, and Excalibur has to run down every match for all three cards in 2 minutes. Go. When AEW launched, that he just either do that every single week. And the other commentators would just sit there going, that's pretty impressive. Just almost take no breath and just go. List every single match. But anyway, yeah, that was my first Dynamite. I had a great time, absolutely flew by. It hits me more when I write Collision, but having a show actually treats the wrestling as the main focus rather than the story they're trying to tell as the main focus. You can really feel it, especially when you're like writing about it. I was just really feeling it. It's like, oh, this is a wrestling show. It sounds crazy, but the wrestling is the attention. This is what we should be focused on. And it feels like I'm jumping in at a really good time to be talking about it because AEW really has found that vision and focus again. And they've found that vision and focus for a while, but after All In, it just feels like they've just been on a hot streak continuously, like a recognised hot streak rather than fans and things going like, yeah, AEW, Dynamite Collision, they've been really solid for a while. Rather than it being that, it's like a recognised streak. And you put that on top of a lot of the bad ways goodwill that the competition is generating by, of course, the business practices, which has pushed me far away from not wanting to cover them anymore. Well, let me rephrase that. Somebody who was a fan for over 20 years finally being like, no, turns out that was my breaking point. Turns out that was the thing that did it for me. Then there's all the counter-programming, and Pinnock was making a promise to run a show in opposition to every single AEW pay-per-view that they can to try and drive them out of business by the end of the decade. Type of reports and rumours and things coming out. There's just a lot of bad will, just a cloud of it on the other company, whilst you watch AEW and it's just a fun little show. It's a fun little time. Now, speaking of fun little times, let's jump on over to Collision, a show even more hardcore focused on the wrestling, but just, this is the first time I've ever covered a Collision. I did Dynamite all the time, but it was like a pre-Collision era, so I've never done a Collision review, so it's a very different kind of show than I've watched before, so for these kind of reviews. So let's jump back to Cincinnati, Ohio, and let's start off with I mean, if it wasn't demonetized earlier, the clips from Tony Storm next. So, you know, guaranteed demonetization. So let's be brave and play a Tony Storm clip. Let's jump on over to Collision and Tony Storm.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Dear fallen goddess Athena, I pray that you will be leaving London on a budget airline with my ass print on your face. Chin up, tits out, and watch for the...
Look out here now!
Spotlight promo on the stage with that amazing black, white and red filter. And we got 2 censored bleeps for the word shit within the first 2 minutes. Tony bringing milk, milk, lemonade around the corner footage made to US television screens. As I said, don't stop being weird. AEW. On her knees praying for the fallen goddess before Athena and Billy jumped her, she promised to become the forever AEW Women's Champion and mockingly doing the Vogue pose under the spotlight when Marina Shirakawa returned. Happy kisses all around with the purple-haired baddies, all grumpy grumps. And it looks like we've got a potential future tag as well with Tony and Shirakawa versus Billy and Athena. Such a strong division. I'll talk about it a bit later because I know I've got notes on it when I get to the women's multi-woman later. John Moxley and Wheeler Yuta versus Jet Speed. I said, are we getting these guys again? What's wild here is I'm so used to talking about a product where the wrestling isn't where they want your attention to be that it feels so refreshing to be like, nah, talk about the wrestling. This is a wrestling show. People are going to go out there and they're just going to have a wrestling match. Whatever stories come out of it, come out of the wrestling match. I see Moxley's currently taking the Orange Cassidy role of being the opening match of every show. No complaints. I really like where the Death Riders are in trying to reassert themselves following the big all-in losses. The mop of a man, Wheeler Yuta, just absorbs so much of the booze like the heat sponge he is. I've mixed up my mop and sponge with cleaning metaphors, but the point still stands. He naturally feels like what WWE tells me Dom is. WWE fans don't actually hate Dom. AEW fans actually hate Yuta. Jet Speed, our flying goodies against the stompy, brawling baddies. Plenty of cutting off to single out one at a time as I realise I have to find new ways to talk about tag matches that don't all dance the same build to the hot tag tune. I promise I won't keep going on about the other place. On week one, like, this is all just so lovely and refreshing. A great sequence with Mox dodging Bailey sweeping kicks and snapping into a cutter. He's not there to eat those things, not when a Wheeler Yuta exists to eat shit right there for him. Kevin Knight's leap on display once again as he jumped onto a head scissors on a Brett's rope perched Yuta to flip the man over into a Bailey powerbomb. Shafir saving the match when Wheeler was beat, but here in AEW the heroes have no qualms about shoving a woman into the steel steps. Michael! Michael, my man. It's okay though, because her being in the ring going owie, elbow, owie, distracted the referee and brought instant karma for the Speed Boys, and the Heat Sponge Mop Man bridged a pin. You know what? I don't want to side with the Death Riders. But you know, Mina Shafir as the villain may deserve some things, but Mike Bailey, take a breath. My guy. The Outrunners promo. I love the full commitment to the home video promos for these guys. The two muscly dudes broing it out, reconnecting with Mother Nature. Sure, they did a tad of stereotypical 80s masculine things, like pretending to be in an army movie with their faces painted as they hid in bushes and crawled across grass, but they also went fishing and picked flowers. Ricochet versus Ace Austin. What a lovely surprise. I knew nothing about this as I went to put on this show. First week back, I get a ton of weird in the best way, and I also get a debuting guy in Ace Austin. Formerly TNA's X Division man, now AEW's Wrestling Gambit. The crowd clearly with a high perception roll as they chanted, "He's got hair," to taunt poor bald Richard. A great little pop for the cart man doing a one-handed handstand on the apron to dodge a sweep. Ricochet is such a perfect lad to give a first great impression of Austin. I also genuinely laughed at Ricochet, giving the stomps and knee drop with a, "Oh hell yeah." The backup out after the ad break, but our new man with the cards and hair kept kicking out, gave an extra lad to catch the diving flop, and good thing too, as well as odds for our Ace Austin to climb. Eventually it was too much, the spirit gun loaded and the bald man won. Moral of the story? Bald men can be winners too. Lee Johnson and Blake Christian versus Kyle O'Reilly and Roderick Strong. The guy's first match since Adam Cole stepped away at All In. Loved the, "Oh, these guys." And, "Oh, these guys." The hologram and Ishii walking in. Two silent men whose presence is obviously loud. I love the idea that Roddy just thinks they're seriously uncool. Was Kyle's the kind of guy that makes friends with everybody and kind of just needs someone to tell him when a guy's just a bit weird? Roddy also called out Kyle. Yeah? No, Kyle Fletcher. So we've got a future TNT title match after Forbidden Door to go to as well. Gave the Paragon Lads, which is right up there as a stable name. Wrestlers think sounds cool, that I constantly keep forgetting that they're called that. It's just a little bit too generic of a name, whereas that, yeah, I can see that the wrestlers would think that's a cool name. But it's just in that battle with all the other ones. I keep forgetting they're called that. Blake Christian with an amazing dive rotating through the ropes as Lee held them open, fending off a man. Also a great counter from Kyle and Roddy, where Blake popped up off Riley's back and got caught into a Roderick Uranagi back onto Kyle's knees. The ending fast, flippy and kicky. Christian paid for being athletic as his handspring was met with getting kicked. A couple of quick segments to Abatu here. Backstage, bro jabber turned into a walk and brawl out into the ring as Stokely stole a mask along with throwing some dust, how dare, burning to FDR and Bro Dido. That's Dynamite next week. Then we got whatever Scorpy Skies faction with Christopher Daniels, Top Flight and Layla Gray is called. An odd gathering of humans for sure. Then Layla doing a swear jar bit during it as well, which just really, it just lent even more into it. The women in AEW are just weird and I love it. They're all just a bit strange. Increasingly so as the weeks go on. Like every single one of their characters just gets a little bit of a weird note. I've not even got to Chris Statlander yet. I've not even got to her. Oh, we'll get to you. But yeah, this Lady Grey bit, as soon as it happened and she walks off and Guppy Sky's doing a bit of a laugh. I don't know why Christopher Daniels is in this group, but he is. And they just give each other a bit of a look. It's like, oh, what's she like, eh? What are these young'uns we've got with her in Top Flight? What are they like? But my immediate interpretation of, oh, I mean, yeah, give another female AEW just a little bit of a weird quirk. They're all getting them. Right, okay, let's get to you, Chris Statlander. Because what's going on with you? Julia Hart versus Penelope Ford versus Anna Jay versus Chris Statlander. Statlander continues to be quirky, blowing white confetti at Tony and commentary during her entrance. Speaking of quirks, of course this match was for $100,000. Of course it was. Tony. Someone needs to take Tony aside. Just all of these matches that are worth, they're all for $100,000. Just like, give it some stakes or something. It's like I was watching, am I allowed to spoil Paradise on Disney Plus or whatever aired on in America? I don't know. When I watch, because it's written by the This Is Us writer, and when I watch that show, I am just, it will limp back, don't worry. When I watch that show and it has like the character moments where they're just talking to each other at a table or whatever, and it finally reached like the character reveal or moment of the episode, because it's the This Is Us writer, I am totally happy with that being the end of the episode, because his writing of just humans talking to each other and discovering things about each other is so good and it's so strong that I don't need the mystery sci-fi reveal stuff that come, or murder mystery sci-fi things that come afterwards. Don't need it. I could easily end the episode there with all these people just learning about each other, because he's such a good writer of that stuff. But then it does go into the murder mystery sci-fi bullshit that I don't care about. You know, it's got James Marsden in it. It's like, yeah, I know he was Cyclops. it doesn't make me care as much. I can watch these AEW multi-wins matches. I don't need the $100,000 stipulation on top of it. I am in on these characters. I'm happy to watch these characters work with each other, talk to each other in a wrestling context. As in, talk to each other through punching each other. It's a form of conversation. But I'm perfectly happy seeing these characters explored through this method and getting to see these characters develop and the way that you see them try and win these matches and things. For me, that is the reward of watching. I don't need the stipulation. I mean, maybe that's a little sign of, maybe when he first started doing them, I could understand why Tony would do it. Now, already with like 3 or 4 weeks, it's not been long at all, the division feels strong enough where you don't need the stipulation. Can just feature it, it's fine. Like, all of these characters are strong enough. I know I've been joking about them just being being weird, but I mean that in the best way. Just giving each character these little weird quirks, it really does work. And they're doing it in a way where all of them start to feel established and unique as well. This was just another multi-woman match showcasing just how strong their division is right now. And that's with Megan Bain just existing in ringside, Shirakawa having just returned, Tay Conti happy to clap her bestie Anna out. Like, none of those featured in a match this week. This division is really in such a great place right now. And it's all being done in a way while with featuring and purpose. Like, I'm not sat here thinking, where's dot dot dot? Because they're being rotated round really well week to week. The answer is yes, we got a tease of a tower spot, but why indulge when you've got a big strong Statlander who can toss her ass across a ring? Ford looking great too, getting to show off her matrix dodge before a Pele kick and a pausing runner, flipping Chris Statlander backwards onto her noggin. Dual moonsaults from Ford and Hart both missed, dual charging lariats both dodged, and the dual Pele kicks earned them the first This Is Awesome of the show. Another refreshing sight to write about that This Is Awesome was earned. It didn't just happen when the crowd were invested. When they were invested, they started cheering, started chanting for the wrestlers. So I'd be like, yeah, let's go. I want the goodies to win. This Is Awesome only came out here, like halfway through Collision. Like, yes. Statlander won by choking the lass out with her thighs. No comment. A second to celebrate before folk ran out to brawl and clobber. Sky Blue and Thekla, the igniters, before Megan Bain followed, and Harley Cameron returned with a chain wrapped around a board. Does that one also have a name? Do I need to know the names of all of these wooden planks with things on them? I remember Janice, so it does work. Janice was TNA like 15 years ago. After the break, Confetti Chris was backstage with Renee, ending up with her carrying Harley during the promo as Uter and Mox walked on out. Suddenly, the quirkiness just fully stopped. Like, damn right, said Mox before walking off. I'm reading that segment's purpose being to tell us that Mox is hot. Moving on. I'm sure it wasn't building to anything else of important character note. Juice Robinson versus the Bounty Hunter Brian Keith. Serious Juice continues to get his chances for full black fit dancers, somewhat countered by Austin Gunn making turkey noises at ringside and Magic Matt on commentary calling Juice is looking good on a Saturday night. Robinson may be more serious, but he's surrounded by silly, the crowd counting that too. Let's get juicy. Certainly isn't a serious chant. Brian's big tall friend charging at ringside failed, and a stiff straight punch from Juice and whatever his finisher is called for the win. What is a more serious name for this plain black Juice? No additional additives, Robinson? what's a boring, bland water Robinson? just no additional flavours. Main event, the technical spectacle. Daniel Garcia versus Nigel McGuinness versus Lee Moriarty versus Hechicero. When I think of Collision, this is the kind of inventive match I envision. For the love of the style and all that, hell of a way to determine AW's offering to IWGP champion Zack Sabre Jr.'s altar. Sweaty men rolling about in close proximity. Wrestling's wonderfully gay, but technical wrestling's hella gay, right? Getting real close and just gonna talk that knee. Oh, I'm gonna talk it real good. The lads splitting off into pairs and fiddling about in respectful technical duelings. Certainly a completely different feel to a four-way. I don't think I've watched a four-way that had them split into their twos and just respectfully tangle. I've not seen that before. And we've seen plenty of four-ways recently. The magic Mexican man, Hechicero, so damn inventive, which is contrasted perfectly when Big Nige just walks in and kicks him. All four locking in holds at once. Moriarty even got to lock three at once for the ad break leading. Tower of London with a kick to Moriarty at the same time was unexpected for McGuinness. He paid for being ingenious though, flipped by Hechicero as Moriarty nearly scored a flash roll up on Garcia. There's no point in calling every move or transition, but it really was one of those most unique feeling four ways I've ever seen, with essentially two pairs always flowing and doing their own thing. Lee out after Hechicero's still insane back bump head scissors thing, with Nigel and Garcia doing their best to get those other two to tap in the desperate attempt to snatch it. McGuinness retching the arm of Lee, so Hechicero went for both of them in an Indian deathlock. The perfect note right before Garcia just chopped the bastard. The end the same as before, with Nigel and Daniel trying to get a lad to tap out first. London Dungeon from McGuinness, which was the locking the arm thing, went straight back to that Moriarty arm. The great spot of Lee's other arm stopping Hechicero from tapping, but it was he who got snapped back with extra torque on that arm for the eventual submission. Nigel, after the match, asked if Garcia would be in his corner for the Zack Sabre Jr. match. And I did see there was a little bit of pushback on the social medias for giving Nigel McGuinness this spot where it could be a younger guy coming in. On a different pay-per-view, I would agree. But for a Forbidden Door show also in the UK, where there's a UK talent to feature, they've done it. Or if, especially with Nigel, with all the other stuff he's gone through, like, this is almost a moment for the British wrestling scene to have this moment. I understand that he doesn't feel like a guy who should be going for the IWGP World Championship, like all of that. We just had the huge G1 Climax tournament, and then it's Nigel McGuinness, who's not exactly in world title level of competition right now. But it feels like for the dream match purpose of Forbidden Door, this 100% fits. For the British crowd, style, just to have the British wrestling scene to celebrate something like this, this absolutely fits. So I've got no like cons with this one specifically. It's why I always say like thing doesn't equal bad. There's always this, there's context. Things vary massively. And this is one of those contexts where if you're going to give me the Dream Match of Zack Sabre Jr. versus Nigel McGuinness, like it absolutely fits all of the reasons Forbidden Door exists. But I can also understand maybe some Americans just being bit bored with the idea, not being on board with it. But for the British wrestling scene, this is definitely a dream match. And that brings me to the end of the week. A very easy week to get through, hopefully, just from here on out with the AEW ones. I did reach my breaking point again. If you want to understand why I've stopped talking about the other company, go and listen to my previous show. I think it becomes very clear if you're watching that. I did my best to edit it and make my thoughts coherent, when in reality it was a 70-minute recording and you've got a 35. That tells, like, I cut out half of what I recorded to make it sound like I knew what I had my thoughts all together and knew what I wanted to say. So this week, just immediately jumping into AEW, immediately just hit with the weird, hit with debuts, I got Edge and Christian coming back together on this show. I got title matches. I got returning wrestlers. So yeah, it all just feels very refreshingly focused as a show where every single segment's building something. It's why I realised, was watching it halfway through, is like, oh, I can't do my format. It's not going to work. I'm going to have to change it. I'm going to have to see what works. But I felt like it was very easy to talk about the segments in this format. Just the basic bitch. Just go through it. Just dog bag. So anyway, that does bring me to the end of the Imps AEW Adventure Review. I'll be back this time next week on a Monday to talk about AEW Dynamite and AEW Collision. More so, we're talking about it together. That's another thing. I used to sign off in, I was like, I've covered it like this in this quick format so that you don't have to watch the shows, but this is more like a 30 minutes of just having a little chuckle and just sharing in this thing we all enjoy. It's a very, very different vibe. Very different vibe. My giggles aren't in contrast to the negativity I'm talking about. My giggles are in tow with it. But yeah. And I totally don't choose which giggles to edit in or out depending on which ones cut the best. Things. It's definitely not affecting my subconsciousness. I'm being so aware of my giggles. I'm literally editing which ones I include. I've even gone through it and gone, oh, you did a giggle about 5-10 seconds ago, can't do another one. Definitely perfectly fine for my psyche doing this. Anyway, I will be back this time next week to talk about more AEW. I am out over the weekend. I am not in the city of which I live, so watching Forbidden Door might be difficult, but I should be all back on a Monday, but which might be mental to try and watch a show, record it, edit it, get it out within the same day, you know, whilst I am an adult human living and existing. So it's we'll see. Week two immediately in the fire with the scheduling. We'll see what happens. Anyway, with that I say, thank you for listening, engaging in any form, any manner. Always appreciated and never taken for granted. I'll be back this time next week. And with that, I say, we're going to be in London next week, so ta-ra, duckies. Say ta-ra.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.